Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, having some fun. So what's up, sports mappers? You want to join in? You should, because we're having a good old time on an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. We appreciate you having us tuned in now. As we always tell you, as you join the show 2 hours in, if you missed anything, ESPN975.com is the place to go. You click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects. You can catch up on the first 2 hours, which you missed. And while you're there, you might as well download the ESPN97.5 app. Therefore, you can take us anywhere, everywhere, car, phone, anywhere in between, and you will always be able to get The Usual Suspects. We always get people chiming in. I'm listening from here. I'm listening from there, and we appreciate you, but that's a way to make sure you can listen to us from everywhere. So we get that out of the way. If you're just tuning in looking for Barry, Barry is in Minnesota doing some comedy this weekend, so Cody Stutes has been gracious enough to bless us with his presence. He's here, Nick's here, I'm here, and we continue to roll on. Some of the news of the day, the biggest surprising local news of the day, I would say, is the fact that the Astros have announced that Alex Bregman had surgery to remove some particles in his throwing elbow.
Well, that sounds dandy.
Not only does it sound uncomfortable, but my first question to you is this a new injury?
Yep.
Or an existing injury that's gotten worse? Because last time I checked, he's not playing in the winter leagues.
Nope.
He's been doing a lot of social media,
yep.
Created a YouTube channel. I don't think that had any impact on his elbow. Why now? Why is it taking this long?
This doesn't seem like an injury that would occur in the off season. It seems like something that maybe is lingering. And I wonder if this is one of those situations, and we've, if you've been around sports long enough, you know athletes encounter this, where the initial prescription for fixing something was rest, take it easy.
Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then it gets, and then rest doesn't fix it, so then it's surgery. I wonder if that was the approach with Bregman's elbow. And look, he can tweet and say, I'll be there, I'll be ready. Dude, you're having elbow surgery a month before pitchers and catchers report, and then a month later, this thing is going to get going.
Remember what we went through with Altuve. I mentioned McCullers, but also Altuve. Oh, it's just a little knee deal. Just give him a couple days off. Get it right. Get some rest. He'll be fine. He'll be back. It was lingering. It got worse. It was really bad in the playoffs when you needed him the most. You knew it was bothering him. And then he finally went under the knife after the season. I get it. You don't want to lose that bat in the lineup no matter, because Altuve at 80% is better than most guys at 100%, right?
No doubt.
But overall with this, again, because of the year he had, because of how big of a factor he was in that lineup, you wonder if this was a deal, just like McCullers, he did it right at the end of the season. Altuve did his knee right at the end of the season. If this was something that was already pre-existing, why didn't it just get done right after the last game?
That's the only thing I can think is if the initial prescription was rest, and then rest didn't work, so then they had to have surgery. If surgery was an option from the jump, I understand not doing it maybe. Like, I don't want to have surgery on my throwing arm. I want to have that, as few times as possible. But at the same time, like, dude, make sure you're healthy for the go. Now, they're shooting for that March 1st return, and I guess later in the month is when the season starts. But still, there's a ramp up, and you're going to have to – you have to be good from go if you're the Astros, because there's so many stud teams in the American League that every game's going to matter. Like, when you're a really good baseball team, and I've always believed this, when you're a really good baseball team, every game matters. Sure. I don't care about there's 162 of them. Every game matters, because that one or two games is going to be the difference between, okay, the AL goes through Minute Maid or the AL goes through New York
or
Cleveland or Boston or something like that.
Well, it's interesting because with you saying that, I mean, the thing is, and we'll get to this in a minute, Caesars Palace in Vegas already put out their projected win totals for next year. Astros lead the league. 97.5.
I'm shocked by that.
Better than the Yankees. Better than the Red Sox. This was obviously released before the announcement on Bregman.
Right.
But to your point, when you look at the fact that the Yankees today have reached an agreement with former Colorado second baseman DJ LeMahieu, 2-year, $24 million deal. Previous to that, because we know that Didi Gregorius is going to be out at least half the year with Tommy John surgery for a shortstop, they went out and they put money in the pocket of Troy Tulowitzki, who was released by the Blue Jays, and spent some pretty big dollars to shore up another infielder. They've already added pitching. One of the Astros' nemesis is with the Seattle Mariners. James Paxton is now a member of the Yankees. They've added pitching. They're doing all these things. The one thing you didn't have to do as an Astros fan is you wait to see what happens with Marwin and Dallas and what they do with trades for pitching or maybe JT Realmuto is. You didn't have to worry about the core of your lineup, and now you do. That is really intriguing to me because I think Jeff Luhnow is one of those guys that it's hard to pick him apart. He's done a lot of things right. Even the Osuna thing has turned out to work out in his favor.
And even some of his missteps you can turn into, like you can explain away some of his missteps too.
Yeah, and E for effort because, look, he took a shot here, he did this there, or something injury.
Like the Gomez Fires thing. Like, I get that relief pitcher is like some stud relief pitcher for the Brewers now, but like, was there room for him? Would you have dealt him in another deal? Like, you were trying to win, you know,
away. That goes to the whole Framber Valdez, but, you know, for years now, we've had that guy every year. Not Framber Valdez. It escapes
Frankie
me now.
Frankie Tuesday. Francis Martez.
Martez. Thank you. Frankie Martez Tuesday. Was one of those guys. We constantly talk about Derek Fisher. And before Derek Fisher, you know, there were other prospects that you take the chance and make the move at the right time because the winning time is now. But with winning time being now, it's just a little bit puzzling, and maybe, hopefully, we'll get more answers later as to why it took this long for this surgery to take place for Alex Bregman.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a little baffling. It's a little baffling that surgery or no surgery for Bregman, the Astros were at the top because there's been losses, and there hasn't been a ton to recoup them, so the wise guys must just feel great.
Well, I think
they must feel great about guys being healthy. They must be betting on Correa being really good, Bregman getting even better, Altuve healthy, Cole and Verlander, you know, being as good as they were.
I was going to say, the one thing that you know, the Yankees were struggling to kind of get to that level. The Red Sox had a lot of injuries as well. But so the one sure thing that you know going into next season is for one more year, you have two of maybe the top six starting pitchers in all of baseball when you have Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander as your one and your two. And as we all know, there's a lot of depth after that. So you know going in that you're going to be in a lot of ball games because you got some horses that can really eat up innings and do it with a low ERA.
The longer this Harper, Machado, Keuchel, all these big-time names that haven't signed, the longer this sits around, Do Luhnow and company get just a little itch just to see, hey, is there a 1 or 2 year deal that maybe you'd want to take that's big money that we can afford for a year and two?
Normally I would say no because you know that's not his pattern, that he's not going to take that knee-jerk quick hit, try and quick fix, try and get a guy and overspend and then find out it wasn't worth it. But the only name that I would say where it is a possibility is Bryce Harper because we found out after the fact that they were in some pretty good discussions about trying to add him before the trade deadline. And if that's the case and Harper's not getting the offers that obviously he and his agent felt like he was worth, maybe on a short-term 1 year, 2 year deal, you do the Boogie Cousins route. You know, until you get the money you feel like you deserve, you go for the ring and you join a team that can possibly get it for you. And maybe that is an option. I don't know.
The tough part about any big money you spend, like in the first, that's beyond a 1 year deal, is it cuts into your ability to re-sign Verlander and Cole. Mm-hmm. And then the arbitration numbers are going to start popping up. Another one just popped up. McTaggart had Will Harris getting $4 million, but you know, some of these guys.
So far, you're getting bargain after bargain based on performance. For the most part, when if you missed it, you know, if some, and you can recap some of the numbers that are already out there, but the numbers have not been debilitating to the Astros.
No. Presley 2.9, Harris 3.1, or excuse me, Harris 4.2.
Peacock
3.1. I think they've got about five other dudes that they got to get done today. Arbitration eligible, or it heads to arbitration, which is such a weird thing that baseball has, where the team gets to say, you're not worth that money, and the player's like, I kind of am worth that
money. Yeah, you're supposed to have this harmony between the front office and the player, and that causes nothing short of the exact opposite, oil and water, because so many players have had their feelings hurt over the year because they have to go if the arbitration actually happens, and here a team that supposedly wants you for the long term and wants you to come back next year crap all over you so they don't have to pay you as much money.
And it's usually a few $100,000 too. Like, it's not like it's like a huge number. It's usually just a few.
I think it was Marcus Stroman last year that said, so you think I'm your pitcher for now and the future. You think I'm your number one, but in an arbitration case, you picked on everything from my velocity to my arm to durability to everything else. Boy, it feels good to be a Blue Jay. You know, that those are the kind of things where you're like, hmm.
Correa in arbitration this year, Osuna in arbitration, McCullers, who's hurt, and then Gerrit Cole in his final year of arbitration. Those are some of the names that still have to get settled up.
Cole's going to get paid. Correa, because he made so little last year, even if he gets paid.
The jump is only so much.
It's only going to be from one to about seven or eight at the top side of things.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But definitely to keep an eye, things to keep an eye on. And the other thing to your point is, as we get deeper and deeper into this offseason, you got to believe the price tags are going to come down, not just on free agents, but teams that were hoping to get a haul for a JT Realmuto or a Corey Kluber are going to start considering taking less and less so that they're not stuck holding that player for another year and with all that money and not getting anything for him.
Pretty significant NFL coaching news just popped up via Adam Schefter.
So that'll come up next. Cody with the tease of all teases, because he's always been a tease. He's good at it, so why not do it here today on F Yeah Friday. We've got one more comedy clip coming up as well. That and a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And I got here at a great time for me to get all the jobs. Do you understand? I'm three. When we immigrated, I can do all the accents. I could pretend to be Republican if I got to get out like a ticket or something, you know? I got it all. But my parents are typecast. They're just Russian circus villains forever. You understand? They have big, sweaty war criminal heads, and every picture you take of them just turns black and white immediately. It's bad. It's the past. There's a weird thing about being Romanian. I don't really know if I'm white. That is funny, yeah. Because all of you in here heard my name when she said, you heard Radu Bandar. And you're like, all right, if I see something, say something. I know how it works. I know, I'm ready. But then you saw all this sauntering around, and you're like, that's a Jake. That's a Jake for sure. Maybe a Tanner, probably a Jonathan, but not a Babu Bakbar, whatever the f*** is it. It's a white man. He calls the police on animals. I've seen those.
He told you, but we told you. Radu Bandar. That was comedy from him, and we have a special interest in him because he interns here at the station and is just an all-around great dude. He's going to be at the Joke Joint this weekend, two shows tonight and tomorrow night. The shows are free if you mention his name. So check him out and seriously support someone that we want to support on a daily basis because he's great and he's a good dude and he's a good friend. So we had three clips of him. If you missed any of it, go back and check the podcast and make sure you don't miss any of that because he's a funny guy. And again, if you get a chance and you're looking for something to do this weekend, get over to the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, I-45 South and Fuquay. If you mention Radu, you get in for free.
7:30 and 10 tonight and tomorrow.
good deal there. Nick almost had to hit the button. He was looking at me. I almost let one slip that I always make fun of with that.
It was close, but no.
Fuque, but I had an R in there, so at least I was somewhat saved.
I'm sure that's happened to at least one radio host in Houston, right?
Oh, God.
Saying that street name?
That and or like things like if you were previewing Meet the Fockers. You know? That's one where
that's
you know,
a
get
one.
A little lazy on a pronunciation and find yourself in hot water.
Or you were talking about former Rockets international prospect Furkan Adelmir. Adelmir? Whatever.
Adelman? Who cares? Close enough.
One of those foreign guys that they... Okay, so just quick side weird Rockets thing.
Yeah.
The Sergio Yule thing.
Yeah.
Like, apparently he's like one of the best basketball players that's never going to play in the NBA.
The love affair forever and a day by Rockets fans, and I don't know, Nick, how much you've gotten into this, but it used to be so much, like, off the charts intensity around this. The Sergio, it looks like Luel.
Yeah, it's L-L-U-L, I think.
Correct.
I think
but
they
it's
call
Sergio
Yule. Yule, whatever.
But, again, international player, highly, highly touted and regarded before the Chris Paul thing, during the Jeremy Lin thing. They were always trying to guess when he was coming over and when he was going to be the next Rockets savior, and it just never happened.
No.
And Daryl was so hell-bent that it could someday that he never traded his rights, never was going to give him up. And now he's just getting old, playing overseas and having fun because he's a franchise over there.
Yep. All right, you want that big NFL
yes,
news?
Give us the breaking news from Schefty.
So Adam Schefter reports, assistant coach shocker, Gary Kubiak will not be Denver's offensive coordinator, according to ESPN. After lengthy discussions, Denver and Kubiak had different ideas on staffing and offensive philosophies. Both sides are going in different directions.
Now, does he stay on as an Elway consultant? Because as you and I were talking in the break, one, you can say that this was part of the deal, and you had mentioned why they went out and got a defensive-minded coach. But my thing from the get-go was he stepped away the last time for health reasons. We remember when he collapsed on the field.
Right.
So if he's going to go back in the game, even after the Baltimore year, as offensive coordinator,
right. And then he
there
got
were
back,
concerns.
And then he got to Denver, they win the Super Bowl, and then he steps down after the win, and it's like, man, he's probably not going to do it anymore. And then they have this big selling point, like, the Fangio hire with Kubiak as the OC was probably my favorite hiring of any of the teams that made a hire, because it's so hard to justify hiring a defensive coach when defenses get lit up every week in the NFL. So it's so hard to do that unless you've got the offense figured out. Joel, this is John Elway's friend.
Yeah.
And it blew up in his face. Elway is running that franchise into the ground.
Well, and that's the other thing. He's had so many swings and misses that he knows that even him, and with that name in that city, he's on the clock. People are watching with a microscope. And that's why I noticed when he was when they showed him up in his box last year, Kubiak next to him had the earpiece in. He was monitoring everything. Mm-hmm. So to me, it made sense. This was the one thing you couldn't screw up, because Kubiak, Denver ties, backup quarterback there, Elway ties, knows offense, going to be that guy. Now the fact that it's not happening, and you say that there were differences in opinion and why it's not and not health-related, this is dicey.
Okay, what do you think happened? You think Fangio got the ink on the paper and then said, yeah, I know I said I'd do that, but I'm not doing this?
I think there's part of me believes Vic Fangio's been in the league long enough.
Fangio,
he knows how things operate.
Is a blunt, tell you like it is, doesn't mince his words.
That's what I think. I think in part, I think he said, look, you know what? I want to put my staff together my way. I said this yesterday. When you go back to the Kevin McHale hiring and how awkward it was that Daryl Morey picked some of his assistant coaches, including a guy that was in the running to get the job with you, you can't stop looking over your shoulder and you can't have harmony amongst the coaching staff, which is essential.
Right.
This could be something like that, too, where Fangio goes, look, either I've had a bad experience with Gary, or we're not on the same page, and maybe they sat down and had dinner last night and something tripped a trigger where Fangio's like, no. But this is weird.
Very strange. Another big swing and a miss by John Elway, who's been
well, and Vic
horrendous.
Could turn out to be a good head coach.
He could. I'll be anxious to see who they hire. I'll be anxious to see who wants to go coordinate Case Keenum. Like, that's not a fun offense to go try to figure out.
But didn't he sign a one-year deal?
Keenum knows his second year. 2 years. Two-year deal.
Guaranteed second year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's getting a second year.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if it was one or two.
My question is Kubiak leaving the organization as a whole?
That's why I asked you, is he still going to be a consultant?
Because if he's leaving the organization as a whole, one, there's a ton of NFL teams that would love to have him in the building doing whatever. In fact, I have to imagine that there's some role for him at NRG.
Would Gary Kubiak be allowed on the coaching staff of Bill O'Brien? Would it be harmonious?
Different camps, different philosophies, but they're both professionals. That could be one of those things where, like, if you just told Kubiak to handle the challenges, like, Gary Kubiak's in the building, he helps out with some scouting, and he handles the challenges.
Well, from the standpoint of being worried about someone coming in to take your job, you don't have to worry about that because you know from a health perspective and everything else, he's
never
going to
be a head coach
that,
again.
Right?
Yeah. It buys you a little goodwill because people in this town retroactively somehow love Gary Kubiak. I'll tell you where Kubiak should go, and I think he could just kick his feet up and hang out and chill. Go catch a paycheck from Texas A&M. Go find a job that Jimbo needs you to do, whether it's helping in recruiting or fundraising or anything like that.
He's an ag.
Kick your feet up and relax.
If Jimbo would do that. But here's the thing to me, the language that Shefty uses in his tweet, they had different ideas on staffing and offensive philosophies. And I think that's where it's a him or me deal. That's why I don't see him continuing in Denver in any role or capacity. Yeah. Because for one, if they have differences, Fangio doesn't want him around. And two, Fangio coming in goes, if you truly, and I saw what happened with the last guy in Vance Joseph, if you truly want me to be able to coach this team and do things my way.
Let me be me.
Yep. And let me have my guys.
Yep.
So that's going to be real interesting going forward.
Which coaching move has been your favorite? New head coach has been your favorite. Which one's been I don't get it.
I've tried to be optimistic on Green Bay, so I won't comment on that any further. But I'll say that the one that surprised me the most is Cliff Kingsbury, and shocked me simply because we were talking about it. The fact that he hasn't really proven himself as a head coach in college. He has no NFL experience. And essentially, all you're really hiring him on is his offensive principles, and because they're looking for the next Sean McVay offensive innovator.
SI did an article about Kingsbury and how quick he was hired. Their first interview with him was on Tuesday morning, really early. Mm-hmm. They announced he was the head coach Tuesday afternoon. God. And they compared it to the McVay pursuit by the Rams. The Rams had him on two separate cross-country flights. He had two separate meetings, one to meet with Goff and break down film, one to meet with Aaron Donald and defensive captains. He had dinner with Kroenke twice. Like, the McVay thing was like a week-long
process. Yeah.
And the Cardinals did that quick with Kingsbury. I will say this for Kingsbury. The most important thing for the Cardinals is that Rosen is either the guy or is not the guy, because you got to figure out the quarterback, figure out everything else after that. Rosen is if he doesn't like you, he doesn't respect you. He doesn't feel like you're on his level.
He's a moody
mentally.
Guy, too.
He's out on you. That's part of the reason Wilkes in there is because I don't think Rosen liked him. Kingsbury is the type of guy that's going to get along with
And
Rosen.
You know him, and you're a Red Raider, and you know Cliff at Texas Tech.
One of the things that made Patrick Mahomes so successful initially is that Kingsbury loves to just talk football with you, explain why you call this, why this wide receiver is running this route. If you listen to Dilfer talk about Rosen when Rosen was in high school and he'd go to these big Elite 11 camps, Rosen would stand up when they're on the whiteboard and be like, why are we doing this? Why are we, like, in the middle, like, the best quarterbacks in the country,
yeah.
And he's standing up with Trent Dilfer, and he's like, why are you doing this? Why wouldn't you just run this route and throw it here? And Dilfer's like, dude, shut up. You're in high school.
It doesn't surprise me that the guy that he's been able to work with while he was being drafted is a guy that's like that in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That's exactly that same mentality that Green Bay's struggling with.
Yeah, and Kingsbury's going to coach him hard, explain to him why and how things work and stuff like that. So that element's good, but as far as staff, like, I mean, they hired Vance Joseph as the DC today. That's nice. Vance is an okay defensive coordinator. I don't think he's great. That's not a lot of veteran
But at
coaching.
Least you got someone with a little NFL experience to try and help you do practice schedules and disciplines. And like we were talking about, the Bill O'Brien X factor things that he doesn't do well.
Yeah, exactly.
So that'll be interesting to see. So we'll continue to talk about a lot of different things, including things like that, the head coaching jobs in the NFL and otherwise. Before we head the break, though, I do want to tell you one more time about Parsons Golf. The newest, greatest golf clubs on the market today are PXG golf clubs. And you can put them in your bag. And when you do, you'll find out they're going to be better than any other club you've ever hit. The reviews are out there and they're describing them as absolutely remarkable and the best clubs on the market. And club pros and PGA Tour pros are calling them insanely good. They live up to the hype. And don't let me tell you. Let me show you the results. PXG golf clubs have won on every major tour around the globe and even a college national championship. They are the real deal. So what are you waiting for? Step up your game, enjoy golf more, lower your scores, and have more fun on the course than ever before. Schedule your fitting at the Club of Carlton Woods right here in the Woodlands by calling 844-PLAY-PXG. 844-PLAY-PXG, or you can visit pxg.com. Either way, book your custom fitting right now because PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 and Sports Prep 94.1 on an F Yeah Friday. F for funny. If you missed any of our comedy clips, our very own Radu Bhandar going to have a big comedy deal going on at the Joke Joint this weekend. Check it out. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. I-45 South and Fuquay. Cody definitely doing us a favor today. Cody Stutes filling in as Barry is in Minnesota doing some comedy, so we appreciate that as well. And great spirited discussion. You stirred some folks up with your take Bill O'Brien does not need an offensive coordinator.
Correct.
We've had some NFL discussions, Rockets discussions, baseball discussions. Still got some playoff games to get through as well, but we really covered the gamut a little bit today.
Yeah, we've been all over the place. Even covered a little bit of Astros arbitration news.
Yeah. Yeah,
$4.1 million headed to Lance McCullers.
And the thing is, you and I were talking in the break, if you're the Astros, you have to maintain his rights when he does come back, regardless of how the surgery goes. So that's kind of like a given. You have to eat that money because you know how wicked that curveball is and how the velocity on his fastball. So you got to keep him in the fold until you know what he's going to be going forward.
Does your I'm asking this in like a mutual interest charity thing. Do your wife and him ever cross paths on the animals?
Not yet.
With his Lance McCullers Jr. Foundation,
right? They
and all
they
this
kind
stuff.
Of they haven't they Are haven't.
They, I feel like
been
they do
face to face.
I feel like they do
but
like
they do a lot of the same
similar stuff,
universes, right?
Similar
right.
stuff, different parts maybe of town and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because Colin McHugh has a podcast now, and I listened to McCullers on there, and he was talking about how the foundation started and what they, you know, were gonna do, and how it he started doing one thing with shelters, and now he does like another thing where, you know, if there's nobody here,
dedicated to animals.
They pay for him to get adopted elsewhere in the country and like fly them to the people and stuff like that. It's really cool. They also talked about like music. It was really interesting because McHugh put it out as the debut podcast, but they clearly had recorded it when the Astros were in Arizona to face the Diamondbacks because they were talking about Garrett Cole's amazing start.
Oh, really?
And hitting in the National League and things like that. It's worth your time.
Pretty. And he's because Lisa works with so many different shelters and so many different organizations to try and help animals and dogs. They've been able to get him to fund some of the surgeries and things for dogs.
Gotcha.
That the owner, whatever, if the owner didn't want to pay for it or if they just found the dogs on the street.
Gotcha.
So it's been cool.
$4.1 million is a lot of animal surgeries.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he should use all of his money.
That's the other thing.
That.
You remember, I was thinking about this because he keeps doing this too. You mentioned the fact that he's doing podcasts. Well, he's also online all the time gaming.
So McHugh's got the podcast, but McCullers does.
Oh, yeah, McCullers is.
McCullers is playing streaming Fortnite.
Yeah.
And he's I play Fortnite a little bit.
Yeah.
McCullers is like a bazillion times better than me.
But he's got Correa on there.
Oh, him and Correa. Brett Phillips is a former Astros prospect and now I think is with. He used to be with Milwaukee. Now he's with another team.
Okay.
They play with Hader sometimes. They play with, I think, Correa's brother.
He tweets out when they're going to do it. And I guess the following and the people are just dialed into it.
Oh, he gets sometimes like a few thousand people watching him.
Jeez. Well, that behooved me to ask the question. David Price had arm issues this last year, which they started hinting about was caused by Fortnite.
Right.
And then he had to come out and say, I think I'm going to quit playing for a while, not saying that he was going to be done forever, but how addictive it was, but that that almost like he wasn't going to dispel the notion that it might be a possibility. And now you got a guy with Tommy John surgery that's playing his ass off on Fortnite.
Yeah, but I don't think there's much of a
question. How's your elbow? You're hanging in there?
I'm doing great.
After your Fortnites?
I'm doing great.
Your velocity still up? Your curveball still at a high spin rate?
I tell you what, I would love to play in an adult baseball league. I would be terrible, but I would love to get up there.
They're
and
out there.
I know.
I know there are a lot. A lot of people ask me to keep playing. I'm like, no, because all I need to do is go back on the mound and then blow out my entire arm, shoulder, back, etc.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not at any point where I need all that. I miss the competition. I don't miss the pain and the sticking your arm in an ice bath for 15, 20 minutes at a time. All right, so with that, we get some playoff games to get to as well. We got some of the NFL news of the day out of the way, and the big news that you broke from Adam Schefter last segment was the fact that Gary Kubiak now won't be the OC in Denver. So it'll be interesting there.
By the way, Baltimore just fired their offensive coordinator.
But by the way, they hired from within. So Gary can't go back, because that's where I was going next, was the fact that a spot that he did really well, and if you're Harbaugh, I was going to say, if you're Harbaugh, you're going, why didn't I wait a day?
Yeah.
Because it worked out so well with Flacco, who...
Oh, I tell you what, Lamar Jackson hitting some of those big bootlegs?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would have been a great fit. And of course, the tweets are already coming in. If Bill O'Brien would only consider him for the Texans, I ask you then to go back to the podcast, because we've already revisited that ad nauseum. I think Nick will tell you we've beat that horse to death.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Lance McCullers. Sorry, Lisa. But we beat the horse.
No, we came up on a horse that was passed, and then we beat the dead horse.
Yeah. So Barry got his picks in yesterday, and spreadsheets by Barry. And I thought about this, Nick. Instead of Jerry Bow, we've got Barry Bow, because Barry's got spreadsheets and analysis to break down the games. and his record was really good this year.
Yeah.
So he gave us his picks, but I'm curious on you guys. As we talk about these games this weekend, what do you expect? Because there's a lot of love on the underdogs right now.
The doggies are getting tons of love.
Yeah.
Especially because the Colts are just like red hot. People are thinking Super Bowl, and they're just playing so well. And they get the Chiefs, who have that playoff terrible history.
People are really starting to buy on these Dallas Cowboys. They're believing it, what we talked about, which is if you can run the ball,
I am,
and take pressure off of Dak.
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to beat the Rams.
Do you really?
I really do. I really do.
I've my whole concern with the Cowboys has always been what Dak can do on the road, but I don't know how much of a home field advantage the Rams will have, despite it being a playoff game. You know,
true.
And I don't know how much of this is going to be an advantage for the Rams to play on home field. That, to me, makes me almost want to pick the Cowboys.
I mean, the home field did nothing for them last year. Atlanta went in there and whooped them.
And I'll say this. And you know, Zeke's used to run it on turf. So we'll see on grass. Mm-hmm. And I've said that defensive seven, Barry had said they're like lower third of the NFL, which shocks me, stopping the run.
They allow some points, man.
So it's going to be interesting there. But if you're the NFL, too, the other thing that you got to be happy about with all these things and the underdogs getting some love is, thank God San Diego's not playing at home. Can you imagine a 21,000-seat soccer stadium hosting an NFL playoff game?
I still call them San Diego, too.
Oh, I did. Sorry, Los Angeles. Yeah, my bad.
No, everyone knows who you're talking about,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, no doubt.
And if you say Los Angeles, people think the Rams.
And both L.A. teams are in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting. All right, we'll get some picks in our final segment. Nick and myself and Cody will all say who we think we're going to see win those games. And then we'll turn it over to the Blitz. They'll be up at 4, take you home till 7. ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show. Barry out back Monday. Pretty much confirmed, right, Nick? He'll be back by Monday.
Monday, Barry, he's back.
From Minnesota with stories from the frozen tundra and the land of 10,000 lakes. And maybe some ice fishing, but I doubt it, as he does comedy there. Cody, appreciate you filling in here.
Anytime.
Before we get to those picks of the week for us on these NFL games, you didn't give us your – I gave you my biggest shock, and Nick as well. I gave you my biggest shock in a hire in Kingsbury, especially since he had already taken the OC job and SC wasn't going to let him interview anymore. I guess the hire that – I wasn't surprised by, or I think is the best fit?
Yeah, the one that you thought was – pretty good, and the one that kind of left you scratching your head. The scratching your head's the Kingsbury. That's going to be a lot of people's answers. Or you know, whatever the Dolphins are doing, because they're just sitting there. Which one do you think, like, LaFleur? That's, yeah, okay.
I think the one that makes the most sense to me, because I don't think a lot of people wanted the job with the uncertainty, is Bruce Arians with the Buccaneers, because he has proven as an offensive coordinator, an offensive mind, and a quarterback coach, that if anybody can get through or take one final shot at Jameis, it's Bruce Arians.
I would take Bruce Arians probably. There's only probably like five or six dudes I'd take over Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
I think he is just fantastic.
And again, we talked about Todd Haley, but a guy that's worked with Peyton Manning, but also with the Steelers, with Big Ben.
So early part of Big Ben's success, that was Arians.
Mm-hmm.
Early part of Andrew Luck's success, that was Arians. Carson Palmer was left for dead.
Yep.
And they turned him into a top 10 quarterback every year he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And now he gets Jameis. If Jameis doesn't work with Arians,
that's what I'm saying. This is the last chance for both of them, probably. Nick, you got.
For me, LaFleur to the Packers was probably the most. Yep. I don't know. That. I guess maybe, considering it's the Packers, I expected a more like a sexy hire in terms of a name.
Josh McDaniels, which Barry said and I agreed with.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably the most surprising. I'm not surprised at all that Bruce Arians got a gig. I'm with Cody. I respect everything that he does.
The thing with LaFleur and the Packers is they clearly hired a guy that's going to listen to what they say. Like, there's no rock in the boat. Whatever Rodgers wants to do, let's gas this offense up. You're keeping the defensive coordinator. You're coaching the players we draft. Like, you're cooking. You're not shopping for the groceries. You're not picking the chefs.
Right.
You're cook.
All right, cool. All right, so let's get to these games.
All right, cool.
See what you're doing where. Seems to be a lot of people on the Colts bandwagon as well, but we started with Cowboys-Rams, so we'll go there real quick. Who are you picking and why? Again, the hot pick right now on everybody's mind is the Cowboys. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't care about the spread. I'm just picking the winner right now, but I don't believe that the L.A. Rams are going to lay that big of an egg at home. And I believe as long as Gurley's running the football, that offense is going to be tough to stop. I said yesterday that I think that there's going to be some little idiosyncrasies that McVay's going to pick up the overzealous young linebackers of the Cowboys. I think the Rams will win this football game.
If McVay's a stud, because to be a stud, you got to win in the postseason. If McVay's a stud, we're going to find out. Like, we're going to know in this very game that he's a stud. I just feel like Dallas has the right secondary, the right linebackers, their defensive line is set up just the right way with Tank Lawrence as their pass rusher and those other guys supporting the linebackers. And then Dak has just been on it recently. They're going to pound it with Zeke. Cooper's been fantastic. There's nothing else besides Amari Cooper catching the ball, though. Beasley's hobbled. The other guys are young or not very good. So I could definitely see this ending up with the Rams big. I just feel like the Cowboys are going to make it ugly, keep it close, and do just enough. This might sound weird. I trust Dak Prescott in a big moment more than Jared Goff right now.
I can see that. What's the spread?
It's -7 at the side that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, I'll take the Rams and I'm going to give the touch. It may be closer than that, but I think the Rams win the game and I think they find a way to win it by at least a touchdown.
If they win, it's going to be 10, 14, 17, yeah. 21 type sort of thing.
What you got, Nick?
I'm a little concerned with picking against the Cowboys, considering I would feel a lot more comfortable picking against them if Dak was playing in a different environment on the road. But I'm still going to pick the Rams. I don't think they'll cover, but I think the Cowboys will make it a match. And I still pick the Rams to win, but I don't think the Rams could cover -7.
I thought you guys were concerned that the Cowboy fans would start calling your guys' shows again.
Chiefs.
Oh. That was the biggest concern.
No.
All right, then we'll go to the Colts. We mentioned them next. Colts at the Chiefs. Nick, you've been on the Chiefs bandwagon for most of the year. But again, one of those two hot teams everybody thinks in the NFL is the Indianapolis Colts that a lot of people are thinking are the sexy pick to sneak in and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I don't see it happening. The one X factor I don't think people are talking about enough is the fact that Arrowhead is, without a question, the loudest and most raucous home field advantage in the playoffs. I think that Patrick Mahomes, even though he is in his first playoff game as a starter, I think that offense has got too many weapons. I think their defense is going to find a way to be timely, and I think that the Chiefs will win the football game. What is the spread?
-5.5 at the site I'm looking at right now.
I'll take the Chiefs.
I like the Chiefs in this one. I know they've had the big playoff disappointments. This is not, like, the Colts defense looked nice last week.
Yeah.
This isn't hobbled DeAndre Hopkins,
hobbled, bad offensive coordinator,
hurt hand Deshaun Watson, bad offensive line. Like, that's not the case. It's the MVP. It's one of the best wide receivers in football. It's one of the best weapons in football in Kelsey. They do enough running the football. And their defense plays in shootouts all the time. So it's not going to be new that they have to win a shootout. Give me the vets. It's not time for the Colts to ascend just yet. Give me the Chiefs.
Nick?
I'm picking the Chiefs to cover. I feel like there's a lot more to account for if you're the Colts when you're playing against a team like the Chiefs. I think, and I said it before the game, the Colts negated what the Texans did well. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that against the Chiefs, and that's why I'm picking them to not only win but to cover as well.
Okay.
We got Chargers and Patriots next, -4 for New England.
There's the other sexy team, Chargers, to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. They've got it on both sides. You know what Phillip Rivers can do. You know that their defense has a lot of young, athletic, strong bodies, both with James in the secondary and Bosa and Ingram. I like the San Diego Chargers to cover. I don't know for sure that they're going to win. Obviously, the weather's going to be a factor again. They're expecting it to be in the 20s. But whether they get all the way there or not, I think this is Phillip Rivers' year to go a little deeper. I think he breaks the streak of losses against Tom Brady and the Pats, and I think that the Chargers find a way to at least cover.
Most vulnerable it's the Patriots have felt in a long time. Gronk's a shell of himself. Edelman's not quite there yet. The defense doesn't have hardly any playmakers on it. And I still can't pick against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I can't. I think the Patriots have been not necessarily playing dead, but I don't think we've seen full Patriots the past few weeks. So I could see them just unleashing something that we didn't know they still had against the Chargers. But the Chargers are loaded with some talent right now. It's tough to pick against them, but I'm not picking against Brady and Belichick till they're both out of the league.
And if you go based on Tom Brady and his record against the Rivers alone as a starter, I think 7-0.
Yeah, 7-0.
The one time that Rivers beat the Pats, I don't even think
it was Matt Castle.
Brady was playing. Yeah, yep. He was sidelined because of some sort of knee injury. So I'm not going to pick against the Patriots either. As much as I want Phillip Rivers to win, and I really do want Phillip Rivers to win, I'm still not picking against the Patriots either. -4, I'm completely comfortable with. I expect the Patriots to win and cover as well.
I think that's why I said I'll take the Chargers to cover. I'm not sure they're going to win, but the one stat to keep in mind is who scores first. Patriots at home in the playoffs, over 90% win percentage when they score first.
That's a
good
stat.
Keep that in mind.
I like that stat.
Final game of the weekend is the last game on the docket. That is the rematch between the Eagles and the Saints at the Superdome in Louisiana. We know the last time that these two teams met, it was a blowout. Carson Wentz was the quarterback, and it wasn't Big Nick Foles. I think it's good. What's the spread, Nick?
It's moved to -8 right now.
So it's more than a touchdown now. I do believe there is something to be said about the Eagles' magic with Foles. I just don't think it's enough to derail the Saints at home on turf in that environment. I think it's going to be a closer game than the last time. I don't think it's going to be a game where the Eagles are going to win. I say if New Orleans, you're kind of like what you said, if the Saints are going to win like the Rams, they're probably going to win by at least a touchdown. I will take the Saints, and I think they'll cover the 8, although I'd be a little bit more comfortable if it was less than a touchdown.
I was telling Nick this in a break earlier. Sean Payton against a Jim Schwartz defense, it's always big points. It's always a win, including most recently a 41-point win against the Jim Schwartz defense. It's all about Breeze and company if they're going. They'll do enough to slow down the Eagles and Nick Foles. Look, this is football. There's only been about a handful of happy endings ever.
Oh.
This is not a happy ending for Nick Foles and them. They're going to get blown out in New Orleans.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, I like that. I expect the Saints to cover. I didn't necessarily believe that they'll get blown out, but I was really huge on the Eagles not being able to repeat what they did last season. And I'm with you. I'm not sure if Nick Foles. I know Schrager. I forgot his name. Is it Peter Schrager from the NFL Network is really high on Nick Foles. I'm not so high on him in this particular situation. I expect the Saints to win and cover that spread.
There you have it. So with that being said, we've covered your NFL weekend. We've given you quite a bit to think about, and hopefully we've entertained you along the way. Cody, we definitely always appreciate you filling in. Go get some ice on that arm so you don't need Bregman surgery, so we can have you back if the opening arises again.
I got to go do kettlebell workouts now.
Oh, yeah, you're going to tweet us those pictures, too, to make sure that we can verify you're there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you and Trey are going to play one-on-one at some point in basketball?
He don't want that.
Oh.
He don't want the smoke.
He don't want that. That's definitely going to be must-see TV.
He don't want this.
Okay, I think he's listening, too. All right, Nicholas, have yourself a great weekend. We'll watch those NFL games. Yep, and Barry will be back on Monday. So we appreciate you guys, and the Blitz is next. Fred, AJ, Jung, they'll take you all the way through till 7 o'clock. So stay tuned. And I guess Tyler just gave me the...
It's Tyler in for Jong. Jong is back on Monday. Either Monday or Tuesday, I believe.
The important people are still going to be present. It's going to be Fred. It's going to be AJ. It's going to be the Blitz. And it's going to be next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.